Lord Emmanuel. We've been looking at that over and over throughout this Christmas season, and we'll continue to do so because that's a powerful truth that God has come near to each and every one of us. I think back. Yesterday we had a gathering for my parents for their Christmas, and so we gathered around, and my sister had given them a gift. It really wasn't it was a gift. She had actually framed it, and my dad was going to throw it out, but it was a certificate from the state of Indiana saying, "We want to celebrate with you your 70th wedding anniversary." And I thought that was rather unique, that she was able to do that, because we never know what we're going to throw out and we retrieve from the garbage. But anyway, that's the way it is with life. But I go back and I think about what my sister-in-law said yesterday, that we grow up so quick. And, you know, we did have our kids. They were this small. I remember when we first came, of course, you know, we had the plumbers and the wildies, and they were all that small. Remember that, singing in the programs and things of this nature? And now they're all grown up way up here, and it's just a time when we think about these. Now we got grandkids in our homes. But I go back to think about how on Christmas morning, as we all have, we came out and the parents were still asleep, turned the Christmas tree lights on, and the gifts were all underneath the tree. And we would sit there and we would shake them and look at them and wonder what we were going to be able to open that morning. And then being able to open them. And I remember, of course, the race car set and the train set and the metal dump truck that had a hydraulic lift on it, you know, and the box of cherries and all those sorts of things. And it was just a tremendous time. And then, of course, the kids opening it. And I think I've shared this before, but I'm a jokester. And I remember the year that they were wanting a Nintendo game set. And it was also the year that Nintendo cereal came out. And so I wrapped up a bowl of Nintendo cereal box, and I gave it to the kids, to the girls, and they didn't think that was very funny, you know. And so finally I came back and I said, okay, you know, here, open this. And it was a Nintendo game set, and they were really pleased. Now it's the grandkids who open their gifts, you know, when they come and we gather together. And very fond and pleasant memories that we all have of those times. But I remember as a young child, you know, we had a stove, and we always fought to lay in front of it because that's where all the heat came out. And so we would sit there and we would, you know, collar snow huts and igloos. We would go outdoors and play in the snow, of course, and play Fox and the Hound and Angels and Bill, all those things. But we also wrote letters to Santa Claus. And yesterday I happened to see in the Bluffton News banner they had all these letters that had been written. And I want to share just three letters that I've come across that I thought were very unique. There's all sorts of letters that we have. And how many of you ever wrote a letter to Santa Claus? Anybody? Hold up your hands. Don't be embarrassed. Hold them up. Okay. All right. You know. Here's the first one. Dear Santa, we think you might be poisoned by the cookies, so don't eat them. Mom went wrong somewhere. This is our first year with Callie, our new cat. Please put her presents in the stocking with the dog in it. As you might know, Duke died, so please don't try to remind Mom or she will break out sobbing. We've all been very good this year. We hope you don't have a bad ride. Signed, Alex, Anna, Katharina, and Brian. You know, so I hope you haven't poisoned the cookies. Here's one. Dear Santa, you are a very nice man. What are you getting for my sisters? How was your year? Is my friend Carter on the nice list? Did you stick the gifts in the basement because there's no room in the sleigh? Your friend Colin, P.S., how tall is the average elf? And is Rudolph red? Now that's a pretty inquisitive little child, right? And question after question after question. And then this one here, he gets a little dig in at his brother. Dear Santa, how are you and the reindeer doing? I am doing fine. I want a new football game and a football because my little brother always tries to steal mine. He may look sweet, but he is the devil. I also want a remote control truck. Love, Evan. P.S. How do you get into my house on Christmas? Very honest little guy, right? But again, Christmas is about giving gifts and sharing in gifts. And God, of course, gave the greatest gift of all in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Paul puts it this way, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Who could begin to describe the gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ? Now today we're going to go back to Luke 2, and I've been in Luke 2 all month of December, because it's just a passage of scripture that I've just have been, you know, dwelling on and God has been speaking to me from. And here is Luke, the physician, and he's writing to a man by the name of Theophilus. And as we begin this Advent series, we actually were talking about how the wise men, we begin talking about those who were searchers or speculators and those who were seekers. And here we have Theophilus. He's a seeker. He's wanting to know more and more about the Christmas story and about this person called Jesus. And so Luke writes him this letter. And in this letter, he begins to compose the Christmas story. This is how this person called Jesus came into this world. Very simply, he says, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Very simple story that we've heard numerous times and throughout our lives. But very simply, what we find here is that this message was given to those who were called shepherds. And we saw that the shepherds were losers. They were failures according to the social status of the day. They were people who did not have it together. Complete flops. And yet the angelic chorus declared to them the greatest birth announcement the world has ever known. We looked at this when we looked at Charles Wesley's song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He said, hark how the welkin rings, which means the whole vault of heaven opened up and began to declare this birth announcement to these shepherds, these lowlifes. But we know that the good news was not merely to these shepherds, it was also to you and to me. It was to them, yes, but it was also to you and to me. And I think about how we put these little stickers on the present, and it says from and to. And here's the present, here's the gift underneath the tree in the manger, from God to Dennis, from God to Jim, here from God to Mary. It's a very simple gift that he's given to each and every one of us. Now, just as we have gifts, you know, and we wrap them up in paper, and we have our children or our grandchildren see those gifts under the tree, and they come and say, can you just give me a hint what's in the box? Or maybe it's your wife and your husband or vice versa. Can you just give me a little hint? And so you give a little hint. And so what the angelic chorus do is they give a little hint. And he says, first of all, this gift is a Savior. He's not a teacher, although he will teach tremendous truths. He's not just an example, although his example is beyond what we could ever consider or even think. But he is first and foremost a Savior who will save us from ourselves, save us from our sins, save us from our rebellion. He will save us and deliver us. Just as a lifeguard jumps into a lake to save a drowning person, Jesus Christ has jumped into this lake of humanity in order to deliver and save us from the oppression, the sin, the things that bind us and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But secondly, it says, this gift is the Christ. And Christ is not just the last name, okay? It's not like Dennis Rush, Jesus Christ. Christ is actually the hero, okay? He's the hero of the story. He's the hero that the Jewish people have been longing for. He's the Messiah who was promised centuries before and the Jews had anticipated, and now the Christ had been born. The Messiah, the long-awaited one. God had kept his promise. And then we find that the gift is also the Lord. The Lord. And when we say Lord, we mean the CEO. He's the chairman of the board. He's the boss. He's the one who has the authority of my life. But more than that, he is God. Because when you go back and you look at the Old Testament, you'll find that the scribes, as they were writing the Word of God in the Old Testament, they would come to the personal name for God, which was Jehovah or Yahweh. And they would not pronounce that for fear that they would trample on the reverence of God. And so they would say the name Lord. And Luke, I believe, is saying here to these people and to Theophilus, he's saying, you know what? Jesus is a Savior. He's come to save us from our sins. He's the Christ, the long-awaited one, but he's also God. And Emmanuel says it simply this way, he's Emmanuel, God with us. And fourthly, he's a babe. It's a baby. Can you guess what it is? He's a baby. He's lying under that tree. But I stop and I think about how the angels declared it, and then it says that there was news of great joy. I was in the grocery store this past week, and I happened to see in the frozen section these breakfast bowls, and they were called Mega Bowls. Mega Bowls. Some of you go into a pantry and you order a mega drink, which is a 2-gallon jug of, you know, Diet Coke, whatever it might be. Right, Linda? I know you have a 2-gallon jug of Diet Coke. But anyway, it's mega. It means great. You know, beyond comprehension. It's just great joy that you cannot begin to describe. And here is this babe who has come, and it's reason for great, great, mega rejoicing. So how do we experience the joys? That's my question this morning, because I find that sometimes our Christmas becomes just sort of commonplace, average, ordinary. How do we recapture the wonder? How do we recapture the awe? And I go back and I think of the story again that Luke shares. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I like that last phrase because it reminds me of the resurrection story. When the angels appeared to the women who were down here, just like the shepherds, their words couldn't be trusted. Who would ever trust a woman? But here the angels came and declared the good word to these women. And it says, he is risen just as he said. Notice the Christmas story, which were just as they had been told. God keeps his promises. The word of God is true. He doesn't lie. He's a truth teller. And everything that he has shared in the word is true. You can go and you can check all the facts as they want to do today with a fact checker. Friends, I want to tell you that it's been true and it always will be true. Very simply here, I want to challenge you to first of all, ponder the Christmas story. Mary treasured these things up in her heart and she pondered them, which means to meditate, to chew over. You know, some of you like to chew gum. And I've seen some people who not only chew gum, but they chew gum, all right? And you know what I'm talking about too, right? I mean, you just really go at it. But she chewed him over, she thought about it, she considered it, she meditated upon it, she reflected upon the Christmas story, and she began to go back in that day when the angel came and shared with Mary. You know, Mary, you're special. God's chosen you, he's favored you. And the Holy Spirit has conceived in you a child. And this child is not just an ordinary child. This child is the Son of God, the Messiah of the world. She began to ponder that. She began to think about that. She began to dwell upon that. She began to wonder how she had carried this baby in her womb for 9 months. And now the baby had been born and she had laid him in the manger. And this baby would grow up, of course, to deal with our sins. She could never get over this truth, this fact that she had borne the Word of God, the Son of God, into this world of ours. And you know, I cannot get over the fact that God loves me. That God came to this world for me. If I had been the only one who needed saving, Jesus Christ would have been born for me. If you had been the only one who needed saving, Jesus Christ would have been born for you. And that's good news of great joy. So I want to consider and call you to ponder these things in your heart, to recapture the wonder and the awe of this thing called Christmas. I've had people share with me, why do I need to go to church on Christmas? It's the same old scriptures, same old songs, same old message. And I say, yeah, that's good. That's good. Why? I think it's C.S. Lewis who says, we don't need to be told new ideas as much as we need to be reminded of old truths, of old truths. The old story never gets old. It's just as new and relevant as ever. And I'm afraid that maybe in our society today that we have taken Christmas for granted and we've become too familiar with it. And we talk about how familiarity leads to contempt. But I want to say that sometimes familiarity leads to just basically just blah. I was reading a poll this past week. And this poll said this. It said that, and I'm glad that Merry Christmas has come back and so many people are saying Merry Christmas. But the poll was saying in the last year that the number of people who see Christmas as merely we could call it a holiday. No, it's a holy day. But has dropped 8% in America today. And people merely see it as a day off from work, a day to gather with family, a day to eat a meal. They no longer see it as a holy day. They see it as a holiday. A day in which they can do whatever they want. And I'm saying we need to recapture the wonder and the awe of Christmas. God has come near to you and me. And that is incomprehensible, but he loved us so much. Secondly, it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And so I want to challenge you to praise. I mean, we praise him this morning with our singing of Christmas carols. I want to challenge you to praise him in your car. I know that some of you say, I can't sing, neither can I. In fact, I think about the elf. This has been going through my head. Whenever people say, I can't sing, what's singing all about? I don't know why, forgive me for doing this, but remember how Elf tells Jovi that you can sing? She says, I can't sing. He says, yes, you can. She says, no, I can't. She says, yes, you can. She says, no, I can't. She says, yes, you can. I'm singing. I'm singing in a storm. I'm singing. That's why I lip sync during the choir. But you know, it's true. We can all sing a song of praise, right? And if you can't sing a song, you can express the praise in your heart. You can express the praise and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this babe. Thank you for this person who was born. Thank you, God, that you've come near to me. And last of all, it says they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and said when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told this child. They spread the word. And if they had had social media, it would have been on Facebook, it would have been on Twitter, it would have been on text messaging, it would have been on Instagram, Snapchat. I don't know why they all are out there, but because I don't use them. But nonetheless, it would have been everywhere, right? I mean, we need to blabber and gossip about all these things. I mean, just not the, we need to tell the world. They spread the news. Friends, when you go into a restaurant and you have a wonderful dining experience, it's the best steak you've ever had, maybe the best hamburger you've ever had, maybe the best pasta you've ever had. And what do you do? The next friend you meet says, boy, you ought to go there, man. The atmosphere was great. And that was the greatest hamburger you could. Greatest hamburger? How could I? That was just absolutely, whoa, you know? Or the steak. And you tell people about that, right? How many of you do that? Raise your hands. I know you do because you've told me about places like that, okay? You know? Nothing beats White Castle. No. But that's how I got up to Charlie was telling me, Charlie and Sue was telling me about this Grain and Grill or Grain and Grill or whatever it's called. Jason, that's where it began. Over here, Jason. Yeah, and went to Charlie and then and it went to me and I went up there and I said, well, I've got to have a hamburger. They told me it was good. And it was good. It was good. They even got the cowhide stamps, you know, with the brand on top of the bun. You know, you go on vacation and you come back and say, well, if you ever have an opportunity to visit this place, go see it. Or if you ever go to a Bible study or a retreat, you say, wow, that was the greatest experience for me. I just really felt God. And you tell other people about that Bible study or spiritual retreat. Or let's bring it back to this morning. Those of you who have become parents and those of you who have become grandparents, what do? Even when people don't want to, you say, do you want to see a picture of my baby? Do you want to see a picture of my grandbaby? Sure I do, right? You're so happy. Why? It's so cute and adorable. And you show them those pictures, friends. We are to show Jesus by our lives, to proclaim him and to spread the word wherever we go. Jesus Christ has been born. He's the greatest gift ever. And I know that sounds trite, but it's true. It's fact. He's the best gift that was ever given to me. So I want to challenge you to ponder, to proclaim, and to basically praise God. He's our Savior and our Redeemer. He's come close to us. It's good to gather together this morning. I pray that each and every one of you will have a tremendous Christmas Eve and a tremendous Christmas day tomorrow with your families, your friends, or whoever it is that you gather with. And as we close this morning, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Precious Lord and God, we thank you so much for the good news of a new birth in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've come near to us. We thank you, Lord, that we have truly lent our voices in praise today. And I pray that as we go forth from this place, that we'll spread, even as the shepherds spread everywhere, the good news concerning Christ the Lord. Father, I pray, grant us peace, grant every home safety, grant every home a blessing from above, and may you forever be praised. Lord, you're the greatest gift. In Jesus' name, we depart. Amen.